Badlands. Run into Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning and welcome to The Brief on Badlands Media. I'm your host, Patrick Gunnels, joining you from Houston, Texas, this April 30th, 2024 at 8.03 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Ash is off today. She'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for being here, especially those of you who are participating in the chat. Do me a big favor and smash that thumbs up button if you can. Helps us enormously when you do that. And without further ado, what do you say we get to our very first sponsor? Attention, all you Badlanders with purring pals and feathered friends. Say hello to Love Litters. 100% pure kiln dried wood, free from chemicals and oh so kind to Mother Earth. No dust, no mess, and no toxins. Just a lightweight solution that's gentle on your wallet and even gentler in your home. Our biodegradable litter is crafted from wood, destined for landfills, giving it a new purpose in your pet's life. Cats love it. Our astonishing formula works like magic to neutralize that notorious cat urine odor, keeping your home pine fresh and welcoming. For bird lovers, it zaps moisture from bird droppings, crumbling them away all while being safe if pecked at or ingested. For reptiles and critters, too. Our mix is crafted to dilute the pine scent, ensuring those little lungs stay happy and healthy. Plus, every 30-pound bag of Love Litters will last up to 6 months, saving you money. Transform your pet care routine today. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/litter. That's badlandsmedia.tv/litter. And breathe easy with a litter that loves your pet as much as you do. All right. Your pet owner, replace your litter with something that helps out Badlands and is oh so kind to Mother Earth and oh so kind to the lungs of your pet. And now from badlands.substack.com, the Badlands News Brief brought to you 5 days a week by the indefatigable Burning Bright. Today's episode is entitled Netanyahu and Zelensky Beg Biden as Exposure Continues. First story from Axios. Netanyahu tells Biden he's worried about possible ICC arrest warrants. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked President Biden Sunday to help prevent the International Criminal Court from issuing arrest warrants for senior Israeli officials in connection with the war in Gaza, two Israeli officials told Axios. Why it matters? Israeli officials have grown increasingly concerned over the last 2 weeks that the ICC is preparing to issue arrest warrants for Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and Israel Defense Forces Chief of Staff Herzi Halevi. Behind the scenes, the officials said Netanyahu expressed his concern to Biden in a phone call on Sunday, where the two leaders also discussed hostage negotiations, Israel's defense against Iran's missile attack, and the need to increase humanitarian aid to Gaza, according to a White House readout. The ICC, which is based in The Hague, Netherlands, has been investigating possible war crimes by both Israeli forces and Palestinian militants dating back to the 2014 Israel-Hamas war. U.S. officials said they do not have a clear indication whether the ICC is going to issue arrest warrants, but said the prosecutor's office is under pressure from NGOs and several ICC member states to do so. What they're saying, quote, under my leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the ICC to undermine its inherent right of self-defense, Netanyahu said in a statement on X Friday. Axios. Our take. Let me begin by saying that I have a real problem with the International Criminal Court, which is not to be confused with the International Court of Justice. ICC and ICJ, respectively, both operate out of The Hague. As Matthew Arrett has explained on Breaking History, the ICJ was formed when the UN was created after World War II and intended to serve as a forum for bickering nations to peacefully resolve their differences. The ICC was created 20-some-odd years ago by George Soros and has been used as a weapon to target world leaders who oppose the unipolar world order, such as Putin. the ICC has been used to expand the presumed powers of the UN so that it could begin to act as a form of global government. The ICJ, on the other hand, does not possess and does not claim to possess any powers to enforce measures against offending nations in its court. With all of that said, I think it would be foolish to chalk this all up to Soros and dismiss this development as a political prosecution. I do, however, think that the Soros-funded pro-Palestine protests are designed to be conflated with this development in order to create confusion. From tracking these events and stories over a long period, I have noticed that an incredible amount of international pressure has been applied to the ICC and other UN organizations in an attempt to bring Israel to heel. For what it's worth, Putin has not been fazed at all by the arrest warrant issued for him by the ICC. The reason I think Netanyahu is worried is not just because of the ICC warrant. There's a lot more going on across the geopolitical landscape. The United States has announced that it is issuing additional sanctions against 5 other IDF battalions on top of the sanctions it has already drawn up against the Netzah Yehuda, the 900-man ultra-Orthodox IDF battalion for human rights abuses and other war crimes. What's interesting about these new sanctions is that it's being reported that the body of evidence against the IDF all predates the October 7th attack. As I've written before in the brief, there is plenty of photographic and video evidence of IDF misconduct in Palestine over the past 20 years. Does this take long enough? Last night, reports were that China is formally demanding that Israel end its occupation of Palestine. Gaza and the West Bank. China has been calling for peaceful de-escalation and a two-state solution since Israel invaded Gaza back in October, so this marks more aggressive posturing from Xi toward Netanyahu. And Iran did not take the bait to escalate kinetic conflict with Tel Aviv. Now, the European nations have announced that they plan to formally recognize Palestinian statehood, breaking from the tradition of unconditionally supporting Israel, reportedly under influence of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And to top it all off, the Saudis hosted a World Economic Forum meeting in Riyadh this past weekend, which has been planned since last year, where Saudi Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan delivered a masterclass in how to be an affable diplomat, even in front of an audience of villainous sociopaths. It is fair to say that sympathy toward Palestine is at an all-time high, and Netanyahu has basically just said that the war has no end in sight, and Gaza is pulverized from dust into, well, a more fine dust. The allegations toward Netanyahu are really more about the IDF preventing aid trucks from entering Rafah to deliver food and medicine. This is something that Faisal bin Farhan has been highlighting for months. There is real power projection happening right now against the globalist cabal, using their own platforms and soapboxes against them, and the globalists are actually quivering in fear. But the real subplot here is the American deep state, which is using the Israeli-owned Congress, United States Congress, owned by Israel, to threaten the UN and the ICJ, arguing that those bodies have no authority or jurisdiction. That's unfortunate timing for the deep state, as I recall many expressing concern that they would lean on pandemic/public health jurisdiction arguments to justify surrendering the sovereignty of the United States and her citizens to a foreign authority, such as the UN or WHO. This is a swollen shut black eye in the face of Agenda 2030 and the World Economic Forum movement toward a centralized world authority. In summary, all I see when I read this is a counterinsurgency of sovereign nations against a network of sociopathic oligarchs hell-bent on one world government succeeding on multiple fronts. Ghost of based Patrick Henry. And I will simply say there was no phone call between Netanyahu and Biden. I don't really know what they're playing at here, but there's zero chance that Netanyahu had a heart-to-heart with the crippled pedophile in the White House. Quite a take there, ghost of based Patrick Henry. I don't think it was long enough. Hey, how's everybody doing? Smash that thumbs up if you can. That would be great. Let's talk about Goldco. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts while the Democrats lean towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not. There's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver. But hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. Next story from the BBC. Situation on front line has worsened, Ukraine Army Chief says. Ukraine's commander-in-chief has said the situation on the front line has worsened in the face of multiple Russian attacks. Oleksandr Sirsky and Ukrainian forces had withdrawn from positions in the eastern Donetsk region. Russia is trying to take advantage of its superiority in manpower and artillery before Ukrainian forces get much-needed supplies of new U.S. weapons. The U.S. last week agreed a $61 billion package of military aid for Ukraine. They agreed upon one. But new U.S. weapons are yet to make their way to the front lines, where Ukrainian troops have been struggling for months with a shortage of ammunition, troops, and air defenses. The situation at the front has worsened, General Sirsky said in a post on the Telegram messaging service on Sunday. He confirmed Ukrainian forces had withdrawn from some of their positions in an area of Donetsk that had formed a part of a defensive line established after Russia captured Avdiivka in February, BBC. And Biden looks to prevent future president from ending Ukraine war with 10-year agreement. Soon, on the heels of President Biden last week signing into law a $61 billion aid package for Ukraine's defense, President Volodymyr Zelensky on Sunday indicated that he's working with Washington on a bilateral security agreement which would last 10 years. We are already working on a specific text, Zelensky said in his nightly video address. Our goal is to make this agreement the strongest of all. We are discussing the specific foundations of our security and cooperation. We are also working on fixing specific levels of support for this year and the next 10 years. He indicated it will likely include agreements on long-term support centering on military hardware and joint arms production, as well as continuing reconstruction aid. Quote, the agreement should be truly exemplary and reflect the strength of American leadership, Zelensky added. But ultimately, a key purpose in locking such a long-term deal in would be to keep it immune from potential interference by a future Trump administration. Zero hedge. Our take. Panic patterns abound in this current stage of the info war as the narratives emerging from the ongoing collapse of the Prussian proxy war are exposing macro concepts to the normie layers of the collective mind they may not even be consciously aware of. For example, the following 1-2 punch carries with it seismic ramifications. One, official sources are now confirming what we've been saying for 2 years, that Ukraine will, is, and has lost in all the ways that matter. Second, the globalist hegemon, represented most clearly by the Biden admin and the EU, are so desperate to keep this losing battle going that they are attempting to front-run the second Trump term by both diverting funding to the EU while also hamstringing the next two U.S. admins when it comes to intervention in said funding. Third, which, as a white pill aside, runs in parallel with the signaling the U.S.-based mainstream media and said EU-NATO establishment are doing regarding the inevitability of Trump 2.0. Enemy death spiral burning bright. Also, there's no power to create agreements if the president can't unilaterally end. 10-year agreement, million-year agreement for all time. Bam, end it. We have a unitary executive. So, yeah. All right, this one, I'm excited about this. This headline, freaking, it's awesome. From modernity.news. If you want people to have babies, you're now far right. A report published by Politico claims that wanting the human race to reproduce is now a far right position to take. Yes, really. Leftists are so obsessed with identity politics, they're arguing that human reproduction and being in favor of people having babies is now right wing. The article focuses on a recent natal convention and states that, quote, the far right is so obsessed with making babies, they just held a whole conference about it. And they are even using a political term for this movement, natalism. Wikipedia says the term natalism, also called pro-natalism or the pro-birth position, dates from 1971 and, quote, is an ideology that promotes the reproduction of human life as an important objective of being human and advocates high birth rate. Apparently, it's no longer just a fact that the reproduction of human life is an important objective of being human. After all, if there is no reproduction of human life, there is no being human to be had. The Politico piece written by Gaby Del Valle, who is, quote, a reporter whose work focuses on immigration, surveillance, and the far right. I'm going to do it quick. Google search in the background just curious what her background might be. I don't know, quite frankly, you know, you can't really know any of these things for sure, but I'm just going to check into it for y'all for no particular reason. But that piece is a reporter whose work focuses on immigration, surveillance, and the far right makes light of the fact that global fertility rates are in a tailspin. It reads, quote, the threat, we are told here this weekend, is existential, biological, epoch-defining. Economies will fail, civilizations will fail, and it will all happen because the people aren't having enough babies. That's a fair point. It goes on to argue that the people attending the natal con are more concerned with a total social overhaul and breeding a new majority. One that looks and sounds just like them. Modernity News. Our take. My favorite part about the political article being torn to shreds is their accusation that the pro-natalists just want to increase the white conservative population. This is, of course, an absurd statement. Okay. The irony lies in the fact that it will be devoutly left-wing people intentionally choosing not to have children as the woke mind virus takes its toll. These horrible people keep self-owning by threatening not to reproduce. Hilarity aside, though, I also wonder about the way the conservative outrage machine is played for data sets using articles from the mainstream media machine. If a major part of the game is now AI-driven psyops that are run on psychographics based on the outline online behavior of the conservative free-minded community, then wouldn't it be beneficial regularly to intentionally inflame that community? It seems like strategically beneficial data sets to learn how to trigger your target population in the exact way and at the exact time that you want. Their Marxist narratives have become all too predictable for us, but how predictable are our reactions to them? Our enemy may be losing, but they are still evolving along the same horizon of warfare. Stay sharp out there. Watch out for overly simplistic interpretations of a sophisticated battlefield. Simon Essler, and I will push back on that take. I am trying to have children late in life. I'm 58. Thank God my wife is still of childbearing age. Yes, we're working on it. My children, two of whom are already here, stepchildren, who are raised just like my children, I am going to tell them something very important. I'm going to tell them, young man, young lady, you were born into a world at war. It's a game of numbers. We need to make more. So I want you to learn how to grow your own food. I want you to learn discipline, and I want you to get married right around the age of 18, and I want you to have your first child by the time you're 19, I think you can probably just quit having babies at such time as you decide you don't want to have sex anymore. That's what I will tell my children when they're old enough. Next story from Politico. Fund manager indicates Jim Biden was in business with Qatari officials. New details about Jim Biden's foreign fundraising efforts are spilling out in a Kentucky bankruptcy court, where recent testimony indicates that President Joe Biden's brother partnered with Qatari government officials in his quest to find money for U.S. healthcare ventures. The sworn testimony by fund manager Michael Levitt, or Lewitt, a former business partner of Jim Biden's, attests that two companies that facilitated the efforts were part owned by, quote, members of the Qatari government. One company named in the testimony partnered directly with Jim Biden in the multi-year fundraising efforts. The second company provided financial backing for a series of loans that a hospital chain paid Jim Biden to arrange, according to documents and testimony Lewitt submitted in the course of the federal bankruptcy proceedings. If substantiated, the alleged arrangements would constitute some of the closest known financial links between a relative of President Joe Biden and a foreign government. The alleged arrangements stem from an effort by Jim Biden to raise money from Qatari sources for ventures in the U.S. beginning in the months after his older brother left the vice presidency. At the time, the tiny gas-rich nation faced a financial blockade from its neighbors and was spending lavishly to shore up its political standing in the West. Politico. Ah, we've got a take from Ghost of Bass Patrick Henry, and it's a videotape. Check it out, guys.
And that's the reality of it, man. The reality of it is this, is that you know what they don't ever talk about in the news? They never talk about Qatar and how Qatar is kind of like this. It's obviously a haven for all the people that we ostensibly are our enemies. The Muslim Brotherhood, the Hamas, the leadership of those two organizations are based in Qatar. You also have a huge CIA presence, like a military industrial complex presence, lots and lots and lots of NGOs who are all like associated, affiliated, or started by former CIA agents, and lots of money coming into Qatar and coming out of Qatar that goes to these terrorist organizations. And MBS and Trump were all over Qatar together in 2017, beginning in March 2017. At the same time, we've talked about the news story before that Fox reported on of the leaked document where in March of 2017, when Trump and MBS kind of started talking about doing this, the Muslim Brotherhood and Qatari government recruited a former CIA agent and his organization as a consulting firm to run fifth generation warfare, like psychological warfare operations against the United States, against the U.S. Senate, to prevent Ted Cruz and others from getting the Muslim Brotherhood designated a terrorist organization. So you have like our people in our government or former members of our government, former CIA agents working with the Qataris, working with the Muslim Brotherhood in Qatar to make sure that Hamas and these other groups have money so that they can fight Israel, the U.S. military, so ISIS can fight us, that kind of stuff. And so we fund both sides and then we get them, we shake everything up and we get them to fight each other, and the chaos gets people killed and it prevents regions from achieving prosperity, not just in the Middle East, but in Africa, in Asia, South America, everywhere. Yep.
Hey, y'all. Quick question. Up until now, has my audio been absolute trash? Because I just noticed that I had the wrong microphone selected, and it just did that to me spontaneously for no reason. Anyway, just let me know if my sound has sucked ass, because that's really, really, really freaking annoying. Guys, check out this message about heavy metal toxicity.
He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails.
Manganese will make you kill your mama. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep?
Military and some commercial jets have been fitted with huge barrels of at least 49 different kinds of documented chemical poisons. Barium is toxic to all mammals. Aluminum is known to diminish kidney function and destroy brain cells and cognitive function. A problem, a serious problem.
Patent number 5003186 describes cooling the Earth with metal oxides sprayed into the stratosphere.
And I thought, well, geez, this is what I do for a living. I was finding tons and tons of large quantities of aluminum, barium, strontium in the forms of oxides and sulfates. Instead of protecting the people, we are poisoning the people.
Detox and prevent heavy metal poisoning. www.epicminerals.net. Promo code Badlands. And remember, when it comes to epicminerals.net, get the body butter, which is utterly toxin-free and itself is detoxifying. Contains apricot kernel oil, which is known for containing laetrile, also known as amygdalin, also known as vitamin B17. I can't make claims about that because apparently that's a no-no, but we know what it does. If you could find out stuff about it at the National Institutes of Health, laetrile, it's in apricot kernel oil, and also our soap lines at the same website, epicminerals.net, also utterly toxin and additive-free. All right, next story from Axios. Hunter Biden declares war on Fox News with threat of imminent lawsuit. Hunter Biden is threatening to sue Fox News for defamation, exploitation of his image, and publication of hacked photographs, according to a letter obtained by Axios that was sent to the news channel last week. Why it matters. It's the latest salvo in the president's son's more aggressive legal and press strategy over the past year, amid criminal charges and tabloid coverage, and first big move after navigating the impeachment inquiry into his father. Driving the news, Hunter Biden's legal team wrote that they anticipate imminent litigation against Fox News and requested that prominent Fox News hosts, including Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, and Maria Bartiromo, preserve documentation. First, the lawyers also demanded that Fox News take down their special The Trial of Hunter Biden, a six-part mock trial focused on his foreign business dealings. And second, while routinely defaming and disparaging Mr. Biden, Fox has simultaneously sought to profit by the unlawful exploitation of Mr. Biden's image, name, and likeness for commercial purposes and reprehensible dissemination of salacious photographs depicting Mr. Biden, wrote lawyer Tina Glandian, a partner at Garagos and Garagos. Glandian also demanded that Fox News hosts update their viewers about the February indictment of Alexander Smirnoff, a former informant charged with lying to the FBI about Hunter Biden's business dealings. Axios. Anybody have any thoughts about this? Anybody in the swamp who sues Fox News is just suing another part of the swamp. It's kind of like Dominion suing Fox News and then getting a judgment for settlement for $787 million. It's just one hand putting money in the other hand, same organization. And I think Fox News and Hunter Biden are also part of the exact same organization. It stands to reason that they can simply create bullshit lawsuits out of thin air and decide whether or not they this is going to be a narrative that we're going to foist upon the public. It's just going to be horseshit, as always. Next story, The Epoch Times. Justice Thomas raises scrutiny on special counsel Jack Smith's appointment in Trump hearing. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has asked former President Donald Trump's lawyers about whether they challenged special counsel Jack Smith's authority to bring charges against the president. On April 25th, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case about President Trump being immune from prosecution for official acts carried out during his presidency. During the hearing, Justice Thomas asked John Sauer, the attorney who represented Trump in court, quote, "Did you, in this litigation, challenge the appointment of a special counsel?" Mr. Smith was appointed to the case by Attorney General Merrick Garland. Mr. Sauer said that Trump attorneys have not raised such concerns directly in the current case at the Supreme Court. However, quote, "It points to a very important issue here because one of the prosecution's arguments is, of course, that we should have this presumption of regularity," Sauer stated. Quote,
That runs into the reality that we have here an extraordinary prosecutorial power being exercised by someone who was never nominated by the president or confirmed by the Senate at any time. We hadn't raised it yet in this case when this case went up on appeal, end quote. Mr. Sauer said he agrees with, quote, the analysis provided by Attorney General Edwin Meese and Attorney General Michael B. Mukasey, referring to the amicus brief the two former attorneys general submitted to the Supreme Court on March 19th. In it, the two attorneys general noted, irrespective of what one thinks about the immunity issue, Mr. Smith does not have authority to conduct the underlying prosecution. The Epoch Times. It's just extraordinary on its face that this has been allowed to proceed. Next, this is from Zero Hedge. Let's see, where are they cribbing from? I don't know. Okay. Scotland's leader, Humza Yousaf, resigned on Monday, quitting as head of the pro-independence Scottish National Party, SNP, after scrapping a coalition agreement with Scotland's Greens. He then failed to secure enough support to survive votes of no confidence against him expected later this week. Yousaf, born to Pakistani immigrants in Glasgow, built an infamous reputation as a woke activist politician going into the 2023 elections. His rabid pro-immigration stance and consistent arguments in favor of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, should have been a red flag to the Scottish public. However, with an increasingly progressive voting population, Yousaf narrowly scored a victory. Here is Humza in 2020 giving a speech admonishing the whiteness of the Scottish government. All right, let's listen to this fucking ringworm.
That 99% of the meetings I go to, I'm the only non-white person in the room. But why are we so surprised when the most senior positions in Scotland are filled almost exclusively by those who are white? Take my portfolio alone. The Lord President, white. The Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The Head of the Law Society, white. The Head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every Prison Governor, white. And not just Justice. The Chief Medical Officer, white. The Chief Nursing Officer, white. The Chief Veterinary Officer, white. The Chief Social Work Advisor, white. Almost every trade union in this country headed by people who are white. In the Scottish Government, every Director General is white. Every chair of every public body is white. That is not good enough.
And by the way, This guy is no Muslim I ever heard of. So I don't want to hear about him being a Muslim. He's not Scottish. You know, he doesn't even friggin' belong there. Next. Keep in mind that Scotland is 96% white. For most people, logic would dictate that having a majority white government makes perfect sense given Scotland's demographics. This is something that Yousaf and his progressive ilk have set out to change. The hate crime law received backlash from every corner of the UK, including from more liberal personalities like Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. Or is it Rowling? I don't remember. And now he's gone. In an emotional address, Yousaf said, "While a route through this wake's motion of no confidence was absolutely possible, I'm not willing to trade my values and principles or do deals with whomever simply for retaining power. Therefore, after spending the weekend reflecting on what is best for my party, for the government, and for the country I lead, I have concluded that repairing our relationship across the political divide can only be done with someone else at the helm. I have therefore informed the SNP's National Secretary of my intention to stand down as party leader and ask that she commences a leadership contest for my replacement as soon as possible." Zero Hedge. The outrage, the absolute outrage of the fact that the people of Scotland, who are 96% Scottish, allowed themselves to be ruled by a foreigner who isn't even Christian. I love Muslims. They are my brothers. They better not be my freaking rulers, though. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm sorry. It's absolutely disgusting. Oh, thanks for the compliments about the accent. And any actual Scottish people in the audience know that that accent is not fooling anybody, but it's good enough for an American audience. But anyway, no, I love Muslims, but I will never, ever tolerate Muslims ruling over me. See how that works? Anyway, can't hear. Mic is off. No, anyway. Yeah, stolen elections. New Kay says stolen elections. I'm sure that's true to some extent, but the people of Scotland are extra brainwashed, I've heard. But anyway, we will find out, won't we? I'm not doing my Chinese accent today because I screw it up a lot. I do a good Vietnamese accent right when I come out of the nail salon. But I don't want to do that either right now. I'm gonna quit while I'm ahead. But anyway, no Sharia law for me. But at the same time, I'm not against Sharia law in Muslim countries. And I think that our laws could stand a little more Sharia-ing up, especially the anti-banker parts of Sharia law. All right, let's see. Do Irish. I don't know. You know, Villas 34, Irish is harder to do properly. I can do a really fake sounding one that a lot of Americans like, but I don't know. Ash is in the chat. One of my best friends is Scottish. She donated to Obama. Freaking Scots, man. The wildlings, as I call them. Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Don't forget our sponsors, Gold Co., Love Litters, and EpicMinerals.net. EpicMinerals.net. Guys, we're developing more products and at Epic Minerals. And I cannot emphasize enough the degree to which product development can drain your bank account. So if possible, definitely do a little shopping spree at epicminerals.net. Helps enormously when you do that. Also, hit the thumbs up. Helps hugely when you do that as well. And don't forget, we do this show every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, followed, of course, by Badlands Daily. Today's Tuesday. I have no idea who the Tuesday host is. Ash does. But True Deplorable says, hope it's only for a pedicure, Patrick. Nope, I also get a manicure. It's a fact. I get both a manicure and a pedicure, although I clipped my own nails yesterday. So there's that. I don't do a very good job, so I'll probably need to. I don't even own an emery board, guys. Don't even know what to say about that. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for being here. And I think that's all we've got for today. Absolute 1776 is the co-host. So yeah, anyway. All right, guys. Love you all. Thank you so much for being here. And I'll see y'all next time.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.